everyone, and welcome to Better Done Than Perfect, a show for SaaS founders and product people. Today we have an awesome guest, Megan McMullen of MeetEdgar, and we're going to talk about her role of being the customer's best friend at MeetEdgar. This show is brought to you by UserList, the best tool for sending onboarding emails and segmenting your SaaS users. To follow the best practices, download our free printable email planning worksheets at userlist.com/worksheets. Hey, Megan.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited to chat with you more about our MeetEdgar's philosophy behind having a best friend role on the team.
I had such an amazing conversation with Christina Quinones of your team in the previous season. So I'm super excited to hear this story from your angle and how you got on board and what your background story is. What did you do before you joined the team?
Yeah, great question. So I've been working in customer support for about 6 years now, and I joined MeetEdgar about 4 years ago. Christina is the director of customer experience here, and our team is pretty small. We only have 12 people on the entire team, so customer support is really made up of just the two of us, which makes it a really fun way to be able to communicate our strategy. So at MeetEdgar, I strictly started out just answering emails at first, and as we started to progress with the team, we became able to really have a great connection with the users. The more we found, we were able to bring them into like video conversations and have these office hour webinars daily for our community. And we realized that it wasn't that they wanted help necessarily only through email, which was the support that we used to offer. But the more that we started testing these other ways of connecting with our community, the more we found that it was more helpful for retaining customers more and really bringing in this community aspect, because we do work with small businesses, and a lot of small businesses and solopreneurs are stuck at home working by themselves. So the ability for us to create community amongst this really was a great way to bring our core customer base in line with each other. And they were seeing MeetEdgar more as a way of saying, okay, this is not just a software I'm buying, this is an entire community. And our holistic approach to this was really able to kind of shine as a way that we could outplay our competitors in that way of saying, okay, this is something unique we offer to our audience persona, because we spent so much time talking to people and really paying attention to the things that they were struggling with. So it's been a really fun process to develop this sort of onboarding role that I've fallen into here.
In our pre-recording chat, you mentioned that at MeetEdgar, you have a pretty unique distribution of roles, and you being responsible both for customer success and some product design or development. That's pretty fascinating. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that having a small team is really beneficial for is we have a lot of bridges to other departments. So for example, I work really closely with the marketing team. I actually write a lot of our marketing emails, which is helpful because I know the language that people use when they describe their problems in the inbox or their pain points and frustration. When I do a demo call with a pre-sale person who hasn't purchased our software yet, I spend a lot of time getting to know them and speaking to them about what they're looking for, and having that language that they use in the emails that we send out to other people just really strengthens our community and really makes them feel seen and heard. And that's really all people want in order to trust the product online, is that they trust we understand their pain point. So that's been a really great thing for our marketing team and our customer support team to work together. The other teams that we work with closely is the product team, not only, of course, to go ahead and tell them like feature requests or feedback on any changes within the app that we're hearing in the inbox or that we're hearing in our webinars, but also just to talk to them about these core problems that we're hearing, because it can be so easy for product developers just to build things in a vacuum and just to build things thinking that they know exactly how they're going to be used. But for us to be able to like test these features through the lens of someone who is going to be a customer and do that sort of QA, being someone on the customer support team doing that rather than someone just on the product team doing that, leads to a lot more of a user-friendly app, just because, again, having that sort of close connection with the customer is only going to be able to make those product features that much stronger.
Tell us how your role, you know, unfolded over time, because as a founder, I would love to have someone who knows everything and can be, you know, great in camera and can talk to customers both via email and, you know, live, etc. But this kind of knowledge doesn't appear over one day. And it's honestly pretty scary to trust customer communications to someone who is fairly new. So how were you nurtured into this role over time? Now you have, you know, four years of experience and you can look at this retrospectively.
Yeah, great question. So I think here at Meet Edgar, we're pretty lucky in that our founder has a really strong belief in you should hire great people and give them the autonomy to do what they do. She also really believes in the fact that, you know, we are a business, we're an important business, but we're an experimental business. So if something doesn't work, that doesn't mean you failed at your job. That means you learned from it. And one of our core values here at Meet Edgar is make new mistakes and that we're all one team. And I feel incredibly supported in order to try new things like these, like daily office hours, or we used to do coffee chats just with our community. And doing these things is just a really great way to have that experiment to learn what works and what doesn't. So I think that laying the foundation from the top level leadership that Laura, our founder, has done of saying, you know, make new mistakes, it's okay, that's a part of the business, has really allowed me to grow into this role as quickly and as confidently as I can, because it's just celebrated in that way. And as a startup, that's something I think everyone kind of needs to internalize. And it's really great that we've hired well, that it has shown across the team in that way. So the way I was nurtured up was I started in email communication. Then we tried to do live chat support and we found that it wasn't that popular. And then we tried doing just one-on-one sort of demos with just like a single Zoom link where it was just me and a customer. And then we found that I was getting booked out for weeks and that wasn't serving our community that well, having to wait like 2 weeks in order to get an onboarding call to get a demo. So we decided to shift into doing daily office hours where multiple people could join at once and ask questions. And this is actually a really great thing we found because sometimes you don't even know what to ask. So hanging out in a small group of people and hearing what they have asked as well seems really beneficial for people who are thinking, you know, we hear a lot like, oh, I didn't even think to ask about that question or workflow. So it's been a fun progression in that way. And other things that we've really decided to go in on that I've taken on responsibility for is our joint partner webinars. This is just, again, really important because I know the voice of our customer really well. When I reach out to people who we want to do a joint webinar with, it's easy for me to tell if their audience is the same as our audience. You know, if I go to their homepage or if I go to their about page, as someone who has a lot of experience talking to our customers, I can read that through the lens of our customer's eyes and see something that catches my eye and saying, okay, this would be a good company to partner with because they work with the same audience that we do. And these partnership webinars are one of the things that brings us the most leads to our email list because we market them on social media and we do this joint partner webinar in order to share lists with companies who have a similar customer base. Because one of the really cool things about our company is we do believe in collaboration over competition with these other brands out there. You know, networking and having these connections has been one of the greatest things to sort of make sure that we're providing our customers with the best things that are going to help them succeed. So we're a social media automation tool, but perhaps they could use something like a video or like a Google Analytics course or something like that. And bringing these people on in order to have our customers have exposure to them just is a really great way that we're able to help them be successful holistically in their marketing. Because if they see their entire marketing strategy is getting better, they're more likely to continue using Meet Edgar, which is our automation tool, in order to really find that success. So it's just been really fun seeing how beneficial it can be to get to know your customers at such an intimate level and really be that bridge to other people within our company and other companies outside of that.
Elaborate a little bit more about different kind of calls that you can be having with the customer. So first you mentioned one-on-one demo calls, then group demos or office hours. Then I know you host like these monthly content batching parties, which is an impressive idea. And I'm sure there can also be like onboarding calls, which is as opposed to demo, not so much a sales call, but more of a customer success one. Am I missing out on something? What other formats have you, explored or are you doing now?
Yeah, great question. So we find that video communication and having these calls with people is one of the best ways to build trust in order to retain our customers. And I think it's so funny when people are like, oh, but I'm so afraid to be on video, because truly, it's just as if you were sitting with someone face-to-face in a coffee shop, or if you're sitting with someone in real life. I think sometimes we get afraid of that screen sort of because we just get a little bit jarred about not knowing it. But I would really encourage people, if you're looking to do sort of onboarding calls and video calls, just reminding yourself you're talking to one person over the screen, even if it's a big group, and building the confidence that way in order to have these more large scalable ways of actually communicating with your customers is really beneficial. So yeah, so we do offer office hours daily, which people who are a community member of Meet Edgar and use our software can pop in and out of. It's typically a pretty small group of, you know, 3 to 5 people. Sometimes they just want a full demo. Sometimes you just have a couple of questions that are hard to communicate over email, but having the ability to screen share and show people exactly how to do something is a really great way that we found to increase people's ability to get their first win with our software that much faster. We do offer one-on-one demos sometimes if those office hours aren't in a great time zone. Of course, being a web-based app, we have people all over the world who use it. So sometimes we'll still offer those one-on-one demos for people outside of the time zones who can't make it into office hours. Content batching parties are a place that we want to really help our small business owners get ideas for social media. So we get together and talk about strategy for social media, and we give them time to actually create their content. So batching is just a really amazing strategy that can help save people up to 8 hours a week on content creation. So again, if we teach people how to actually create their content and put it into our software in the most efficient way possible, they're going to be more likely to stay with our software. So these are just great opportunities for us to teach the strategy behind how our software works best. And this kind of was born out of the fact that Laura, when she founded Meet Edgar, founded it in the space that she needed the software herself. She had an education business and she was finding that the way she was posting on social media was just not efficient enough. She was spending way too much time logging into each platform and posting. So she created this tool for herself, and it's got a lot of really unique strategies that she found has worked well for her beyond things like batching your content. It's just an evergreen schedule and it's a category-based schedule. So teaching people the reason that this was built and the way it helped her helps people understand it a little better, because as humans, we're such narratively driven to understand stuff. We love stories. We love that sort of human connection. So telling her story and telling people how she actually built the app in order to make it as user-friendly as possible in these content batching parties helps people kind of grasp the concept that much quicker. We also do virtual co-working every month. The first of every month, we do a virtual co-working session, which is just kind of a heads down work. I'll give a prompt every 15 minutes for kind of a social media status update that would work really well, whether it be something like share some behind the scenes content, share a value of your company, share a tip or share a quote, more a curated piece of content. And our community just has a time to work heads down. And that sort of accountability, while it might seem kind of silly, it really helps people who are especially working on solo teams, just to know that there's a community of other people working at the same time. The last form of video stuff we do are joint webinars, and these are more for our list building activities, but of course our entire community is welcome into them. But we really use these in order to gain more email subscribers for our list. We try to choose topics that we know people who would be a great fit for our software would be really interested in. And this is just a great way to bring them into our community in a free way. So one of the things we like to do is just really look for ways to bring people in on the lowest ticket item possible, and then introduce them to a paid item. And that's sort of the way that we do it with these webinars, is you bring them in on a free webinar. We build that trust. We let them know we're experts in this area. We know what we're talking about. And then they're on our email list where we can nurture them a little bit more, educating them how a social media software tool can actually help. And throughout all of these, wherever they came in on, whether it was in a webinar or whether it was in an email that I do like a video for onboarding on how to use our software, it's just nice to have a familiar face throughout the whole customer journey. So they'll see me in the webinar, they'll see me in office hours, they'll see me in content batching parties, and I'm the one in the inbox as well. So they see me sign off, and it just really makes a great community vibe of saying like, okay, I know who I'm talking to. I know like exactly how to ask these questions, the language to use, and it just helps our customer support become a place where people aren't complaining, but they're like, I trust that Megan is here to help me and to really make sure that this is working best. Because we all know if you're reaching out to customer support, you're probably not excited to do so. No one's excited to call or email customer support. And this is just a way that we hope to make it a little more approachable.
Over the years, I'm pretty sure, like, it sounds like you nailed every single format from scratch and, you know, it's been just roses and unicorns. But what have been the things that you learned the hard way? What didn't work that you had to replace with something that does?
Yeah. So I think the biggest lesson was with our demo calls and our onboarding calls, it just wasn't scalable with the size of the team we had. I think people really liked the one-on-one connection, but having to wait that long because they got booked out so far and I was spending like 4 hours a day on the phone, which just wasn't sustainable in a burnout wise for myself as well. So we had to pivot from doing those one-on-one calls as much as possible. We also used to do our webinars on YouTube, hoping that it would bring brand awareness and exposure to us quite a bit more since it's such an open format, hoping that people would actually kind of find the webinar and the live stream on YouTube. But we found that we were just missing out on so many email subscribers in that way. So pivoting to using a software, we use Demio, but pivoting to using a software that can actually collect the emails beforehand and make an automated webinar out of the replay to continue to collect those emails has really helped our webinars be our main lead magnets. And it's just a bummer to think about how many emails we lost out on when we were just doing these sort of as free webinars up on YouTube. And I also think it's something that we're looking into how to create resources, not only for our current customers who could find success with like the content batching parties and stuff like that, but how can we make sure that we're really linking everything we're teaching back to the product is something that we're trying to get way better at, whether it's making like the title of the webinar really business oriented. So what is the business outcome that our ideal customer actually cares about? Because you could name a webinar like social media success tips, but that's not actually speaking to like a business outcome that our ideal customer is looking for. So we're trying to get a lot better at being like, okay, social media tips to create 30 pieces of content in like 45 minutes or something like that, so that they really get that tangible outcome of what they're going to get. And the more that we're trying to perfect this and the more we're trying to go along with really generating these strong headlines, the more we're seeing an increase in our registration rates. So it's just kind of an interesting process to learn what's working and what's not there.
You can't even imagine how timely this is because partner webinars is like our personal like number one marketing strategy for the next few months. And nice. I have spent the last few weeks picking webinar software, building a few of those initial connections to run those webinars, brainstorming the agenda. I'm even going to have a session next week with some speaking coaches that are going to tear down my presentation. And I'm very, very intimidated by it's going to go.
Oh, no, it'll be great.
I really want to make the best out of it. And let's dissect this marketing model further for those who are listening to us, because, you know, everybody knows you should be doing webinars for marketing. You already mentioned that you should be picking companies that have a shared audience. And now then the gist is that you approach them with a pitch that's educational and bringing value to their folks. So it's not like you're pitching them a sales thing, but you're pitching them an educational, in our case, it's a user onboarding workshop. What else can you do to, you know, sweeten the appeal for them? For example, in our case, we suggest to make them affiliates, and not everybody takes us up on that, but some people do. What else has been helpful for you to build those partnership relationships?
Yeah, so cold emailing is an interesting thing. And I think one of the things we have to remember most is you always need to make sure you're thinking about the value in it to the other person, like you mentioned. the best value we give is that we give them the email list after the webinar, which is typically, 800 to 900 registrations. They get that email list that they can now add into their marketing. So that's a huge thing. And I usually lead off my emails with that, making sure that they understand I'm not just asking for your time. I'm going to give you something in return. Another thing we do is we do offer reimbursement for advertising. So we offer $200 reimbursement if you'd like to advertise the webinar to your audience and put some paid ads out on social media. The reason we love to do this is because if someone actually finds your brand, so if someone learns about Meet Edgar through a brand they already trust, that is going to be a much more warm lead and someone who is going to trust your brand without having to have so much nurture because they've already got the buy-in from someone they know. So that's why we give them that money to do that, is because we want people to say, oh, wait a minute, I know that brand. Wait, they're endorsing Meet Edgar. Okay, I trust this brand. Let me go check out Meet Edgar. And it makes it a lot faster of a process than just finding someone online and them seeing Meet Edgar and being like, meh, I don't know Meet Edgar. So those two things are stuff I like to put in the emails right away just to make sure people understand, like, this is a true partnership we want to have with you. We also have an affiliate program, and it's something that we certainly mention, but I think the email list is something that really drives it the most. And we'd like our partnerships to be ongoing. With Demio, the software we use for our webinars, actually, we've done partner webinars exchanged with them. We've done podcast exchanges with them, and we've done blog post exchanges with them over the last 4 years, multiple times. And it's just a really great way to support each other's community. So just the ability to make sure that you're researching companies who you think you can have that long-term partnership with and grow together is something that's a really kind of strong goal for me when I'm looking into the people who I'm emailing. So I always try to put that in the email too, letting them know this isn't just a one and done thing that I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to actually make sure that we are a community who is like recommending each other's software. If someone writes into me, Edgar, needing something, like they're talking about starting a webinar or something like that, we could recommend them to Demio. If Demio gets questions about social media, they'll recommend us. So just really looking for ways to drive home the point that we are looking for these long-term partnerships with companies.
When it comes to webinar exchanges, it's pretty clear that on your side, you're organizing a webinar, you host it, but they promote it to their audience so that they come as guests to you. Is that right?
Yeah. So we promote it to our list as well as do social ads, but we also ask them to promote it to their list and run social ads as well that we will reimburse them for.
Because otherwise the email list wouldn't be really valuable. So you collect audience from both. And does it mean that every time you do such partnership, you come up with a new webinar angle?
Yeah, so we do them monthly, and every month we try to get a new guest and a new theme on there. It's a really great way to be able to make sure that we're looking at like what exactly the topics were that brought us the most leads, just to know, okay, this topic is something that our community is really interested in. And yeah, it's just, again, a great way to make sure we're taking people from social media and bringing them onto our email list, because we have so many people on social media who might just be casually following us, but just need that little extra push in order to gain. And handing over your email address isn't an easy thing these days. Everyone gets so many emails. You don't want another newsletter. You don't want to have to like subscribe to stuff anymore. So these webinars are a really great way in order for us to look at these topics and say, okay, what do our community members on social media actually care about? What topics could we bring to them that would entice them to sign up for this webinar to get onto our email list? So yeah, we like to look for different topics and then really pay attention to the ones that are driving the most signups to know kind of like, okay, let's look for more brands who could speak in this area.
Let's talk about pre-recorded content that you use in support. I mean, all kinds of walkthroughs, little explainer videos, whatever not. You are, as far as I know, the one responsible for those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we use YouTube a lot for that just because, again, typing out like 50 different steps in order to explain to someone how to like bulk edit in account connections is like pretty tedious for the person to read through, but sending them a 2-minute video to watch can often explain the concept so much faster. So they're not frustrated trying to understand where I'm telling them to click just through typing. It also is just such a much more scalable thing. If we get questions in the inbox that we see come up multiple times, we automatically make a video for it. So hopefully by sending people video in the inbox, we're sort of quote unquote training them to actually go and seek out the answer on our YouTube channel or in our help center first. So I always like to kind of do a combination when I'm answering people of going ahead and giving them the information right in the email if they actually just want to read it there, but always including a link either to our YouTube help videos or to our help center to let them know, like, hey, you know, next time, if you don't want to wait so long, I don't actually say this, but it's kind of the vibe I'm hoping to give people. Go check out the self-help resources here. And truly, we live in an age that people would rather have self-help than reach out. It's a lot faster. It's a lot easier for them just to do it in the time frame that they have allotted. If I'm not in the help center, if I'm not doing the inbox at that time and someone's trying to figure something out, I always want to let them know where they can find that information on their own. So that's kind of why we do it, especially being such a small team, having these pre-recorded videos or these pre-written help articles and always directing people to them just makes it that much faster for us to be able to have a fast response time for people.
Walk us through your tips of how to efficiently create those. Because it's not like it sounds easy just sit down and record an explainer video, but you often find yourself, you know, making a slip of the tongue and then what? Do you start over? Then if not, then how do you edit all together? Do you have somebody who puts on extra like production flair on your little video snippets? How do you do that?
Great question. So I think the name of your podcast speaks to this perfectly. Done is better than perfect. If you make a little slip up, just keep going. If it's not major, if you just stutter a little bit, no one's going to care. I like doing explainer videos on Loom just because it's an easy way to get like my face in the corner so that I'm not just doing a screen share without any human connection on it. And Loom has some really great features that you're able to like pause the recording. So if I feel myself like slipping up a little bit and I can kind of feel myself stuttering a little, I might just hit pause for a minute, take a breath, and then hit unpause and continue with the recording. But I would really love for people just to understand that it's not something that has to be perfectly produced to add so much value to your community. I've flipped up and said so many times on this podcast, but if you're still listening now, it's because you're still finding value. So I would say don't overthink it if you're stuttering a little bit like that. Editing these days is incredibly easy. I do all the editing in iMovie, and it's easy just to like split the clip and take a little section out if you need to. You know, if you're not familiar with how to do that, if you just Google it, there's so many easy tutorials. So we don't do any sort of professional editing on them. I typically try to sit in front of a window and I have a small like little ring light that I use just to brighten things up a little bit. But that's truly all that you need is that natural lighting and then just the mindset that you're really talking to one person. Again, sometimes we can get a little nervous with these videos being like, oh my gosh, hundreds of people are going to watch this. I have to be perfect. But just get that out of your head and really remind yourself you're speaking to your one ideal audience member. Maybe even tape their name to your computer, tape that ideal audience that you have in mind, or even like your mom's name or picture up there if you're comfortable talking to her more, just so that you remind yourself this is made for one person who's just going to be watching it and you don't have to get that nervous, especially if you're someone who's not comfortable on camera. You know, cover up where your face is and truly remind yourself this isn't for you. If you're nervous about it because you feel like you don't have the perfect makeup or the perfect lighting for it, that's taking too much of what you're doing and bringing it about yourself, where you really need to flip that perspective and remind yourself you're making these things to help people. It doesn't have to be perfect, but as long as you have that intent and you have a couple of notes written down about the key things you want to hit, if you stutter, just keep going and don't worry about it that much.
What other kinds of materials do you find yourself creating? So one you mentioned is the help articles, of course, the classic. So basically improving your knowledge base over time, which we should probably like spend another hour talking about. Then you mentioned the video walkthroughs. Anything else that helps your customers get successful faster?
Yeah. So we also like to do weekly challenges to try to bring more people onto our email list as well. And typically these are things like the one we just ran last month was social simplified. And it's just making sure we're taking the overwhelm out of social media for our community and giving people permission to understand, you know, if you're not getting 100 likes on every single post, that post still mattered. Because so often you hear from gurus and you hear from people out online so much that the only thing that matters in social social media is engagement. And if you get 100 comments and blah, blah, blah. And people can get frustrated and just give up if they're not seeing that, when truly the consistency and the slow build and having just a presence on social media is like having an open sign on your door. It's that virtual open sign. If someone is researching your brand and they see you haven't posted for 6 months, they're probably going to be a little skeptical. Where if they see you're posting consistently every day, even if it doesn't have 50 likes on it, that's a really great sign that they're saying, okay, this is an active brand there and can build that trust in. So that's a challenge that we just ran, and the type of things we create for those, it's a week-long email series that can be joined by new people. You have to sign up for a trial of our software in order to join it. So it's a way that we're trying to bring more trial signups in. And what you get is a daily email as well as a worksheet. Typically, the worksheet is some sort of checklist or some sort of brainstorm. The checklist is just a simple way of saying, okay, have you done this in your Meet Edgar account, to really give people that confidence of knowing the exact steps to take to set it up properly. And then you get a short, like 2-minute video of just a social media strategy daily. And all of this content doesn't take that long to create. While it might seem like creating a week-long email series with a worksheet and video takes a while, if you just look at the content you already have, like our blogs or our past webinars and stuff like that, we have so much well-researched content out there that I can just go through some of our blog posts and take different information that we've already researched and we've already put together and just repurpose this into an email series. Because remember, not everyone's reading your blog. Not everyone's reading every social status update you're putting out there. So think of other ways you can use the information that you've already come up with and put it into a new format for people who might not have read your blog post to still get that really great info. So we really like this concept. We refer to it as upcycling here at Meet Edgar, and we look for any opportunity to take something that works well or that we see a lot of traffic to a blog post. Let's say it outperforms others by a big amount. We're going to look for ways for how we can repurpose that into like a live video, how we can repurpose that into worksheets. And it's just a way that we're listening to our customers and following that bright spot in order to create more of what they want.
Let's take a moment to talk about lead magnets. At UserList, we, for a long while, and we still have that on the website, our primary lead magnet is email planning worksheets. But over time, I have grown to understand that this is not the perfect lead magnet to start with, because it drops the user into a lot of work to do immediately without explaining the concept and everything. So at the moment, we are in the process of rebuilding the lead magnets, and we're launching, you know, the guide or the recorded workshop or something like that, that can first give them an intro and then they can get the worksheets, but only as a complimentary material. What have you found helpful? Webinars, again, you mentioned, perfect lead magnet. Anything else?
Yeah. So these week-long challenges we do every month, so those are pretty good as well. Those bring us less, because in order to sign up for it, you do have to have an actual trial of Meet Edgar. So we use like a coupon code in order to track that. So we get less kind of lead magnets, but at that same kind of, on the flip side, it's kind of like more beneficial because we're actually getting people to sign up for a trial. So we find that combination of just having a lead magnet anyone can sign up for, you don't have to use our software, plus having a lead magnet that you have to sign up for a trial of our software, those work really well to get people who are on the first example, who are cold leads, who we need to nurture more, versus others of building up that urgency of saying, okay, join this now. And we offer like a 50% discount on your first month just to get that urgency up for people who might be on the fence saying, I don't know if I need Meet Edgar or not yet. And the reason we do the challenge is really oriented with getting Edgar set up is to bring those people in who might be on the fence being like, you know, I've tried a software in the past. It was just too hard to set up. I don't know how to do it. And it's, again, just thinking what your customer might be thinking in order to produce a lead magnet that's going to actually convert them into being a paying customer. So again, having that really intimate connection of hearing why people are canceling from Meet Edgar or the questions they ask before actually signing up, and me being in the inbox and knowing that is a really great way for me to then like write these status updates or write these emails to market this lead magnet of the challenge. Just kind of reminding people again, like if you tried something in the past and it didn't work, like we are a different solution. This is why we're here to help. So I think those two work really well. We also do just straight up kind of downloads for lead magnets. So we'll have a lot, being a social media automation tool, we'll have a lot of templates that people can download. And those are always in our blog posts. So we don't really put them out on social media in the way that we do with like our webinars and our challenges. But every single blog post, we always want to think about what the person wants to know next and make that the lead magnet that they have to enter their email address in order to download. So let's say we write a blog post about like Instagram stories and like why you should use them. At the end of that blog post, we're going to put a download for templates people can use for Instagram stories, because what's the question they're asking themselves after they finish that blog post? The question is like, okay, how do I actually create these stories? Like, you've given me the reason why, how do I actually create them? Then there's that call to action to download those templates. And that's just a really great way to make sure that your blog is working for your business beyond just brand awareness, but it's working in a way that it's bringing email addresses in that you can later convert into customers.
I'd like to take a minute and talk about your favorite tools that you use along the way for the webinars. That is Demio. Then you mentioned Loom for the videos. Anything else that you've come across? And I'm happy to make some other recommendations after you go with yours.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I use StreamYard every day because we do daily live streams. And that's just a way that I'm able to amplify out the live stream to Facebook, LinkedIn, Periscope, and to like all these places at once. So I don't have to redo it on each network. So that's been an incredibly huge time saver. We use Intercom for our inbox management, which makes it nice because I'm able to like send out all of the like follow-up emails to webinars and stuff through there. And it also functions kind of as a live chat as well as an email stream. And we also bring in like all of our social media messages and stuff all into one place. So that's been helpful, just having a central hub there. And then of course we use Slack every day, and it's just nice in Slack because I'll go ahead and pop in like the link to a live stream that I do every day, or pop in like the webinar replay into a room that we call like Deploy. And once those are in there, our marketing team can then see it, and that handoff is done in a way that our marketing intern can then take that information and repurpose it into like social media posts, or know that like if I did a live stream that was a demo of a feature of Meet Edgar, they can then take that live stream and put it into the newsletter. Again, just looking for ways that we can make sure it's transparent what content is being created and how it can be used for other teams, so that we're not always reinventing the wheel and that we're not always feeling like we're on this content creation treadmill that we can never get off of, but how we can really help each other out on the team. So Slack is just an incredible way to kind of make sure that every team is using the information and the products and the worksheets and the live videos and stuff that we're putting out there.
Awesome. As I was researching and doing these my own webinar implementation, I came across Pitch for presentation design. And Livestorm is a webinar platform that I really loved. Nice. I did know Crowdcast before, and I used it before, but Livestorm is a little bit more expensive, but it's super polished, and they handle like the full cycle. You can they do all the email reminders, and everything is just super well designed, like in all modern standards. It's pretty awesome that like there is a startup, a good funded startup for nearly every like purpose you can think of.
So true.
For example, like presentations reimagined, there you go, like here's Pitch. And because I was looking for live collaboration and everything, and I thought that as a designer, I can't be really impressed by, you know, design templates for the slides, but indeed they were really, really refreshing. So that big kudos to their team. Anything else that you found useful?
Those are the main tools. You know, we always use project management tools like Asana and Trello in order to make sure that tasks aren't kind of lost in the shuffle. I especially love the way we use Trello for our feature requests so that I can make sure that I'm not like bombarding Slack all the time and bringing people like in and out of the chat so much if feature requests come up, but that I can just go ahead and put a card in Trello and explain why, the user story behind it and stuff like that. And then the product team can really take that and fit it into the roadmap or decide if it's too much of a feature creep and we're not going to do it. And they can leave a note on their decision process there that I can go back and look at. So those kind of normal project management tools are used within our company, especially because we are a remote company. Even before remote work was a necessity, it's just a really great transparent way that we can all make sure we're in the same communication about what's going on.
As we are wrapping up today's episode, what's your advice to people out there who are doing customer success and are, you know, hesitant to start their own live events, hesitant to start producing their content?
Yeah, great question. I think kind of the best advice I can give is just to make sure you're always making the customer the center of it and reminding yourself that, like, I always like to take the vantage point that if people are writing into us, that's like a good way for me to be able to connect with them. Oftentimes, like, the metrics on customer support teams are like, we want the lowest ticket volume. But here at Meet Edgar, we take that opposite approach that we want our community to write into us a lot. We want to have that connection that even if they're just writing in to like tell us about a success they had, which we get a lot, we're going to celebrate with that with them. So your job isn't just to like sort of put a band-aid on the things people are complaining about. Your job is to really just create this welcoming community. And that's truly a pretty easy thing to do if you just look at it in the way that you're talking to real people. No one wants jargon in your emails. No one wants you to be perfect on screen. That's not relatable. I think I heard from someone on a different podcast one time. I can't remember who I need to attribute this to exactly, but they were saying, you know, if you wanted to learn how to play tennis, you're not going to take lessons from Serena or Venus Williams. You're going to take lessons from someone who's more comparable to your skill level and who's actually going to be able to like teach you and talk to you on the level that you're at. So often I think in customer support, we get a little afraid that we're like, oh, I might not be expert enough to teach someone about XYZ, or I don't have enough authority to be the one to lead a webinar or whatever. But truly what people want more than anything is someone they relate to. So get to know your customer, make sure you're having calls with them. If you don't know them well enough, your community wants to help you. You can incentivize them with like a $5 Amazon gift card or something like that to jump on a call and just get to talk to them about their pain points, about their kind of feature requests for your software, stuff like that, so that you know who you're talking to in the inbox over email, so that you can be relatable and you can be that person who's teaching things with your community and learning alongside your community and not just talking down to them. I think this works so well to keep that in mind. You know, for example, I grew into this role by just learning it, and I didn't have a lot of social media marketing strategy in my background before I started working at customer support here, but I'm learning it alongside these small business owners and the webinars and content batching parties that we produce. The things that I learn daily, I then present to other people, and it's just a fast-moving industry in itself. Things are changing. Algorithms are changing. New networks are popping up daily, it seems like, that you just have to stay curious and you just have to start learning about these things and reminding yourself that the customer is always looking for something in their email. So when you're reading it, if it's not exactly clear what question they're asking, you know, have that dialogue, have that communication, but take a minute to really try to read past it. One of my favorite examples of this is, you know, if people are thinking that like the elevator is taking too long to come, one of the fixes that you can give them is what the hotel industry did and why you see so often mirrors placed like on the opposite side of the elevator, because people might be frustrated the elevator's taking so long, but if you give them a mirror to look at, they're kind of happier in that way of saying like, okay, I've got something to do. And their frustration level they found fell drastically. So in customer support, you can find ways that you can kind of make that mirror effect happen for someone's problem if you can't solve it directly. Like if your software doesn't have the feature that they want exactly, get creative. Try to look a little bit deeper into what you can actually do. So you're creating that partnership and you're really presenting yourself as a like that helpful resource for them.
This is amazing advice. Thanks so much, Megan, for joining us today. Where can people find you personally and Meet Edgar online?
Yeah, if you want to connect on LinkedIn, I'd love to have conversations with you over there. It's Megan McMullen. And if you are interested in using a social media automation tool, Meet Edgar, your first 7 days is a free trial sign up. We've got two plans, a light version as well as a full version. The light version's for 3 social media accounts. The full version is for 25. So depending upon your needs, we can usually find a plan that'll work for you there. And we connect with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn currently. And we are about to launch our direct to Instagram posting feature in the next couple of weeks here. So be on the lookout for that. And we're really excited to see your success there.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for joining us again and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yeah, thanks for a really fun conversation.
Thanks for listening. If you found the episode useful, please spread the word about this new show on Twitter, mentioning UserList, or leave us a review on iTunes.